Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here and to join you this morning. What we're going to do for the rest of the service this morning, there's an opportunity for me to share from God's word with you that I'm going to be doing in a minute. But we're also going to do this in two blocks. And there's going to be an opportunity at both stages to go into some small groups just to start looking at some questions around the Bible text that we're going to look today. But I'm really hoping that this will just be a start of some discussion that will continue into the next months. I feel that I'm kind of joining in with a discussion that you've had for quite a while now. And I just want to prompt some more questions around the whole idea of what it means for you as a whole church and for me and for Alistair as we come and join you as we move forward. So it's going to be a bit of a start of a conversation today, and we're going to follow it up in the months ahead. But it's been brilliant looking at these chapters in John that we've been doing over the last few months. I think I described it last time as a bit like having a long meal of a long chew, very, very slowly working through these chapters in John. And there's certainly been some wonderful flavours that have come out, hasn't there, over the last few months. There's a real depth of teaching that Jesus has for us. It was great to listen to Chris's talk last week, his sermon, and just to think a bit about the cost involved in following Jesus. He was really able to open up that for us, wasn't he? That whole challenge of just the reality check that he gave in this team talk with his followers about the fact that some of this following is going to be difficult. There's going to be hardships and persecution for them. And yet in the chapter that we're looking at over this month, chapter 15, in amongst all that challenge, there's also real promise, isn't there? There's promise of this amazing fruit that Jesus talks about, and also the provision of help and support from the Holy Spirit, which we're going to increasingly begin to open up as we look into these next few chapters. But today I'm going to focus on something that's also in amongst all this amazing team talk. And it's this idea of being called, of being called to witness and to talk about Jesus. So for today, I'm going to be looking at right at the end of this chapter 15 that we've been looking at this month. I'm going to be focusing on verses 26 to 27 in John 15. I'm just going to read those to us now. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." So today we're just going to spend some time thinking about this call that Jesus gave to his disciples, a call that is for us as well as his followers. And it really picks up on this idea a little bit earlier in chapter 15, where Jesus said in verse 16, "You do not choose me, but I choose you. And I appoint you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." So I wonder what you think about this idea of calling. Do you think that God has called you as an individual? Have you ever thought about that? And what about the calling that we have together as God's family here in Sea of Green? I wonder if it's something that you've discussed or thought about before. Sometimes this idea is associated more with the professionals, isn't it? Maybe with ministers or missionaries. And of course, the calling for them is really important. It's been incredibly important for me as I've stepped into ministry. But this call is not just for ministers. It's a call for all of us that are part of God's family, that he has called us together. And it's an amazing call. First of all, we're called as people of God to worship him and glorify God and enjoy him forever. That comes out of a very early catechism in church history. Some of you might recognise that And some churches say that regularly in their services, just to remind them. So we're called to worship and glorify God. And we're called to love one another. Jesus made that very clear again, didn't he, in these verses of John. In verse 15, in chapter 15, verse 17, he says, "This is my command, that you love one another." But this passage also makes it clear that we're called for a purpose. We've got a role to play. We've got a job that is being given to us. One writer who's written a lot about this, Neil Hudson, says that the church is called to be communities of disciples who become discipleship makers. I'm going to say that again because it's quite a key thing for us. We're called to be communities of disciples who become discipleship makers. So this is an amazing thing. We are called to be creative, to do this in lots of different ways. We're called to join in with the Holy Spirit to testify and talk about Jesus. And this is what this section of John 15, verse 27 is all about. Because the church is not here for itself, but we're here to point others to Jesus and to welcome in God's kingdom, his reign, wherever we find ourselves. And I think one of the things that I've really learned from lockdown, I think it's become more real for me in lots of different ways, is that the church is about us, isn't it, as people. We have the wonderful resources of our church buildings, but that's not really the church. The church is now today. It's in all the different homes as I look across this Zoom. We are the church. And God is really interested in the whole of it. He's interested in every part of our lives where the church goes, as we stand outside the church gate, as the church goes into workplaces, as it chats to neighbours over the fence, as it goes into the homes of our families, all those areas God cares about. In fact, he's so passionate, he cares so much about human experience that he came to live amongst us. Jesus came so that he might be with us in all our human experience, and God wants to redeem every part of it. This word testify is really interesting. Some translations use the word witness. You might have heard that, or to give testimony. It's an idea of speaking well, of commending something. But a key thing about it is that it's rooted in personal experience. And in fact, Peter uses this same word for witness when he's standing before the Sanhedrin in Acts 4. He says, "For we cannot help speaking, we cannot help witnessing for what we have seen or heard." So this idea that Jesus is talking about in this section of John is all about knowing him, really knowing him at a personal level. And before we break into some groups, I just want to share with you three aspects of what it means to be a witness. The first one is about the fact that to be a true witness, to really to be able to talk about a situation or a person, you have to know them well. You have to know them intimately. Recently, in my NHS work, I was asked to do a character reference for somebody. I'm sure some of you have been involved in doing this. I do it fairly regularly in my job. I always find them quite tricky things to do. I don't know about you, but this one was particularly hard because it involved a character reference that was actually very important for someone in their professional situation that I was trying to support them with. But I actually hadn't really worked with them very closely. So to write a true character reference was really quite difficult because I didn't know them closely or intimately enough. It was really hard to be a witness to their character because I'd not travelled with them in my work role. I hadn't journeyed with them closely enough to be able to do that. And this idea of witness is all about that. The closer you are, the easier it is to talk about someone else. And that's why Jesus talks about this whole idea of being connected earlier on in John, how key that is to us, that we stay connected. The second thing I wanted to talk about being a witness, is that we need to experience and know that person, but we also need to allow that experience to actually change us. We can know, but the real difference is when it starts to impact on the way that we live our lives, the way that we think, the way that we feel. So we're challenged to do this. If we're going to be a good witness, if we're going to testify and talk about our faith, then we need to prepare to walk the walk. It's no good telling other people about Jesus if we're not also prepared to demonstrate that in the way that we live. Otherwise, we lack authenticity. And at the worst, we can become hypocritical, can't we? We need to be prepared for that experience to change and transform us as we talk about that to other people. Again, I was thinking about my work situation when I was trying to think this one through, this whole idea of being authentic. And it made me think about a manager that I used to work with in Wakefield. And you might at this moment want to think about one significant person in your life that you would willingly follow. I don't know if you can think of someone that has made such an impression on you that you would want to follow them. And this manager for me was somebody that I could think about that I would want to follow. And it made me think about why. Why would I want to do that? Why would I choose to do that? And I realised that she'd built a relationship with me and I trusted her and I respected her. She led with care and with consideration of others. She encouraged me. She invested in me. She didn't go about things from self-interest. She really valued me and she was authentic. And I wanted to follow her. I wanted to be a manager like her. And she has been quite inspirational in my leadership development. And you might be able to think of someone else significant in your past that has had that kind of role with you, that's made you want to actually walk the walk. And that's what we're encouraged to do as witnesses, to do that, to follow in the steps of Jesus, to be like him so that it transforms us. And then this third thing I just wanted to say about being a witness is this wonderful thing that Jesus tells us is that if we do these things, if we keep focused on him, if we intentionally choose to walk in his way, then our faith will become vibrant. It will become real. It will become transforming in the places that we go. And we won't be able to help it. We will just become witnesses without really being able to do much about it. It will just naturally flow out of us. We will bear fruit without even having to intentionally or sort of strive to do this. It's a natural process. So being a missional church, which I know is your vision as you want to move forward, means that we do need to be committed ourselves to take this seriously, to follow Christ, to walk in his way, to cultivate our walk with Jesus. We need to take that seriously if we want to be a church that has mission at its heart. And also to do that, we need each other, don't we? To encourage each other, to build each other up, to help us to grow and to flourish. This isn't something that we're called to do on our own. We're called to do this as a whole church community. And together, we'll be able to move forward. This lovely picture earlier on in John is of a whole vine. We're just one part of it, but we're called to be a whole vine together to bear fruit. So at this point, we're going to take a pause. I think David's going to help me with this. And we're going to go into some small groups. I think David's been able to set this up for us. And I've set you two questions just to get us thinking about this. And the first one is just to encourage you to start to discuss this idea of being called as a church family and what that might be. How does that make you think and feel? So that's the first question. And then unpacking a little bit about this idea of why we're called to be witnesses. What's this all about? What are the values that are underpinning that? Well, thanks, everybody, for really engaging with some of those questions. I managed to drop into a couple of the groups and it was brilliant to hear the depth of some of the conversation that's been generated by some of the questions. So thank you for really engaging with that and talking and sharing. there was some fantastic stuff that came out of that, and we'll share a bit more with it in a couple of weeks' time. It was really great to hear how people were talking about the fact that there is a level of responsibility for this, but also the amazing fact that God actually wants to use us, how valued that is for us, and that we do this together and we share in this together as a whole family. It's not something that we have to take the responsibility for as individuals. And I think that was a really encouraging thing to hear as well. As we move into this sort of second section, I'm just going to focus in on something else. I'm hoping you're not getting too much noise behind me. Are you okay? That's fine. We've got a building site quite near to us, and I think it sounds like they're working on Sunday. So I will go and shut the windows if it gets really noisy.
We can't hear it, so okay.
That's fine. What I wanted to sort of turn our attention to for this sort of second section is just some really practical ways that we can start to engage with some of these questions of the idea of being called and what is it that we're being called to as a church family. Because one of these things that these chapters point to is this whole aspect of the fact that God, by his Holy Spirit, is going to help us, and therefore we need to listen and to join in. The verse here uses the term advocate for the Holy Spirit. Other translations use the idea of helper, but there's a real sense that Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit being there to equip us and to help us to speak, especially when we feel that we can't, when we're powerless or unable to do so. And in fact, it's the Holy Spirit that is ultimately going to open eyes and to reveal God, and to help people to spiritually wake up. All that's going to be done by the Holy Spirit. But we're invited to join in with that and be part of this amazing mission that God has for us in Sea Green. And I think that's something that's really reassuring. It gives us real confidence that we're not doing this on our own, but with God equipping us to do that, that he will guide us, and he will bring us the truth, and he will show us the way that we need to go. It made me think of a lovely picture that Jesus gave a bit earlier on in John, of the idea of the shepherd calling his sheep. And it talks about in John 10 that the sheep hear his voice and they follow him. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it, for us, that as Jesus, our shepherd, calls us to what he wants us to do, we want to be able to recognise his voice so that we can follow him. And just spending a bit of time with you as a church over the last year, I believe that you're really on this journey already, and that you're really up for this, that you've already started to listen to what God might be calling you to do in the next chapter of your church. You've taken a lot of courage, and you've called a new part-time leader into a role that's new and will grow and evolve. And you've been very brave, and you've called a new sparkly, newly trained minister as well at the same time, which is really encouraging for me. And we're really excited about this call that you've given for myself and for Alistair to come and join you. But what I want to say to you is that on my own, I'm not going to be enough to be able to do what you're calling yourself to as a church. But I definitely want to be there and to join in. This call is for all of us. And if we're really going to join in this, we need to do it together. And I'm really grateful that you've called me to join in and be part of this amazing call that you think the church has been called to into the next 10 years. So what I want to do now is just to give you a little bit of a challenge. And I know that David has been talking about this already, and you've talked about this in some of your church meetings as well. And it's this whole idea of beginning to listen and join in listening together, as you have been doing, about what we are going to do next, how we're going to do this together. So my challenge for you as a fellowship is, over the next few months before I join you, is to put some time aside intentionally to really begin to pray about this. I know you're talking about it and you're already praying, and that's great. So just to encourage you to continue with that. It might be some of you are into fasting as well. And if that's your thing, then you might like to think about fasting for us as a church as well. But what I'm asking you to do is to really begin to come before God about where we go next, what practical things we need to do to take this vision, this call forward, to really begin to build some dreams of what that might look like for you as a church community. What I don't want us to do is to suddenly rush into solutions and programs and ideas before we've done this listening together, because I think this is really important that we spend this time listening and thinking about where God is calling us to specifically as a church family in Seer Green. And if you've read anything around mission, many of you will know that this is a really key part of growing and evolving as a missional community. Taking time just to listen and to work out what God is specifically calling us to do. Again, I think you started to talk about this, but missional writers talk about this idea of triple listening. The first idea is listening to God, spending time with him together and on our own, and asking him to speak to us and reveal his heart for the church and for the community. The second bit of listening is listening to you as a church, reflecting on where you've got to at this point. You're already a distinct Christian community in Seer Green. You've got a history, and God has worked with you and blessed you as a church community. God has already made you and formed you into a shape. And so we've got to work out what that shape looks like, where it fits going forward. And then the final thing I know you've talked about is listening to the community around you. I just heard a really lovely example in one of the groups of someone being in a queue and listening into someone needing some help with some change, and just using that opportunity to engage a conversation and to start a conversation with somebody in a queue. But that's a really good example of beginning to see every opportunity as you go out and about in your community as an opportunity to share faith and to be yourself. So this is the third area of listening. Working out what's actually going on in Seer Green. What weighs on your heart as you move around the village? What sort of ideas does it trigger? What sort of dreams do you start to dream as you look at the community around you, at your neighbours, at the people that you know, and the places where people meet in the village? Can you see God at work already doing something that we need to join in with and grow? Or is there a particular need or a heart thing that we begin to feel as a community that we need to respond to? So those three areas of listening: spending time and listening to God, specifically asking him to speak to us, listening to yourself as a church, where you've come from, your journey and the shape that you already are, the gifts that you have present in your church community. And the third thing is looking and listening around in your community, asking God to show us where we need to join in with him in the village of Seer Green. So in a minute, we're going to spend a bit of time with a few more conversations, some questions around this to get some conversation going. But this is the conversation we're going to really come back to over the next few weeks and months ahead. And hopefully you will have taken some notes in your group, and we'll use this to feed into the session in 2 weeks' time to continue with some conversations and some prayer and some listening around this. So let's go back into our final groups, David, if that's okay. And we're going to look at three questions here. And this is the first one is around, what do you think Jesus is calling us to share with the community around Seer Green? So really just to start thinking about some very practical things that maybe are on your heart. And why do you think that? The second one is around the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit saying something to us in this time and in this place? And then the third one is, how can we help each other to do this discerning together, to listen? Are there some practical things that we can do over the next few months to really help us to do this well? So that's the third question.